May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This passage is one of the most beautiful and powerful in the whole of Scripture. In some ways, it doesn't need any explanation, any addition to it, any real attempt to sort of break it open, because it speaks so deeply and powerfully in and of itself. There's something strange and different about it. John's Gospel actually finishes very neatly at the end of the previous chapter, where St. John says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Isn't that a beautiful ending? John has told his story. He's given us everything we need to believe in Jesus. And he says, if you believe, you will receive life. And he even says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That whole story about Thomas, you know, saying, I won't believe unless I can touch and feel. And Thomas does touch and feel. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so John finishes by saying, believe and you will receive life. And then suddenly you get this last chapter afterwards. It's not even very precise about when it happened. Afterwards. It's not even terribly precise about everybody who was there. We get a list of the names: Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. It's bad news if you're one of the other disciples, isn't it? And you're there at one of the most important moments in the New Testament. You don't even get your name listed. There's something strange about this story, but something incredibly real and powerful. And so kind of vivid and emotional. It's almost as if we dare to take a ringside seat, a seat at the edge of what sounds as if it's going to be a really difficult encounter. Simon Peter and this group of disciples are back in Galilee. Galilee is some 90 miles away from Jerusalem. It is a world away from the capital, from the sophistication, from the learning, from the temple, from the center of everything. They're up in the north. They're in a much sort of more rural, sort of, if you like, backward place, where people aren't scholars. They're farmers, and they're fishermen, and they're carpenters. They're back where they belong. Back into what they know. Back into the familiar. And Simon Peter goes almost further and says, I'm going out to fish. I'm going back to what I was before. I'm going back to what I know. And the others say, okay, we'll come with you. And they go and they fish at night, and they catch nothing. And then there is this really amazing moment in the story. Early in the morning. Do you remember when the women go to the tomb? Early in the morning. Just as the sun is rising, just as the day is dawning, Jesus stands on the shore. It's almost as if he's saying, look, where do you belong? Do you belong here in the night, in what you know, in the old and the familiar? Or do you belong here, in the morning, in the sunrise, in a new calling? And Simon Peter, bless him. He is the one who jumps into the water. And he jumps in and he goes ashore. And there's everything that they want. There is warmth and there is breakfast and there is Jesus. But there is business to be done, isn't there? Serious business. And everybody knows it. There's that amazing line. None of them dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And now here is Peter. And it's really significant that in this story, he is called Simon Peter. It's almost as if the story is saying, who is he? Is he Simon or is he Peter? Simon, the name he is given by his parents, by his family, by the world, or is he Peter, the name that Jesus gives him? Simon Peter. He's called Simon Peter most of the way through this story. And here he is around another fire. And it's only a few days since he was around a different fire. After having said so loudly and clearly and firmly and uncompromisingly, "I will go all the way for you. I will even die for you." And the night of agony for Jesus becomes the night of agony for Peter, who cannot stand up to three simple questions. And here comes the business. Jesus addresses Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon Peter, and then listen to his words, "Simon, son of John." That must have been a dagger. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? There is no cover-up. There's no pretending. There's no minimizing. There's no sense of, it doesn't really matter. I know, but you know, the circumstances and everything. Jesus doesn't do that. He takes Simon, son of John, back through this. But there is no exploiting either. After each question, he gives him a command. "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." I am not going to exploit your guilt. I am not going to make you feel awful. I am not going to make you squirm. I am doing this because I want there to be real and deep forgiveness. This is not cheap grace. This is the deep and real assurance that he is wanted. Very truly, I tell you that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which who? Peter. Peter would glorify God. The decision is made. I belong to you. Now put yourself in Simon Peter's shoes. The messing up we all do. Now please don't get me wrong. I am not here to make us feel bad about ourselves or to make us sort of search for some guilt, okay? I'm not trying to do that. But most people know that in faith, in church, in families, in relationships with the people we love most in the whole world, in life, we mess up. We can't even do the things that we want to do, that we know are the right things to do. We have all been like Peter, saying, "I will do this," and then we don't. Or, "I will definitely not do that," and then we do. You might know the Proclaimers. There's a lovely band of Scottish brothers who sing wonderful, wonderful songs. And one of the songs they sing, "Shadows fall where we let them, as neglect turns to regret. Shadows fall, do you never get them? You haven't lived long enough yet." There is that sense in which none of us are who we want to be. And sometimes we even try to fool ourselves into thinking that these things don't matter. That doing that or not doing that, that somehow, "Oh, it's all right, the Lord knows, everything will be okay." But deep down we know that they do matter. And Jesus knows that they matter too. And this story comes to remind us all that forgiveness is not cheap, but it is real. Because Simon Peter finds the risen Jesus reaching out to him, leading him through that most horrible night, and giving him a new commission, a new assurance that he is wanted, that he is loved, that he is valued, that Jesus still has a role for him. Resurrection for Simon, son of John, means the careful going over of this most painful memory and hearing the incredible news that not only does Jesus forgive, but he gives him a new work to do. "Feed my sheep. These belong to me, and I am sharing this with you. That is how much I love you. That is how much I want you. That is how much you are forgiven. That is how much the new touch of Jesus transforms his life." Fishermen, stop fishing. Come and be the person that Jesus calls you to be. And isn't this the wonderful moment, the glory of Easter, of the resurrection? That it doesn't matter how often you and I have messed up. The failures, the disappointments, the falling shorts, these are not the last word, because Jesus wants us. And Jesus refuses to define us by what we have been or what we have done. And isn't that an incredible thing? Jesus doesn't say, "Simon, son of John, you'll always be the one who let me down at the fireplace, but now go and feed my sheep." He just says, "Feed my sheep." In a world where so often there are so many voices that would define us in terms of our failures and our falling shorts, in terms of what we are not — we are not rich, we are not famous, we are not beautiful, we are not an athlete, we are not all these things — the things that our culture values and cherishes and worships and pumps at us, daily, if not hourly, through the internet, through television, through radio, through all sorts of different ways, that tell us all the things that we are not and all the reasons that we might be considered a failure. Because we're not one step up and we're not like that and we don't look like this and we don't have that. These are really, really powerful messages. And if you're not careful, you start believing them. And Jesus doesn't believe them. He just says to us, "Do you love me?" And if we do, he says, "Come and share and do my work and be part of my people and do amazing things like listen and love and forgive and care and be kind." And it doesn't matter if you didn't do those things last time, because I love you. And resurrection is possible. And even for Christians who often get it wrong, sometimes get it really badly wrong, and even for churches which sometimes get it wrong and sometimes aren't the sort of places that they should be, actually Jesus says, "Do you love me?" We say, "Yes, Lord, you know that we love you. Come and be part of what I am doing." So just a final question at the end. Who do you believe you are? Do you believe that you are, if you like, the Simon son of John, the person that everybody else tells you are, that our culture, social media and all these things, that person? Or do you believe you are Peter, the person that Jesus says that you are? Because the resurrection tells us that he tells the truth. He is the one who has life. He is the King. Do we dare to believe that we are the ones who Jesus says that we are? Wouldn't that be an incredible resurrection? So I love this story, and I'm sorry if I got a bit emotional. I do love it. I think it is everything that the gospel is. Don't be defined by what may have gone wrong. Let Jesus redefine you by his resurrection touch. Amen. Debbie's going to lead us in a time of prayer together.
Let's pray. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercies and his love endures forever.